This morning, thank you for this invitation to come. I consider this morning a great honor. This is a great privilege for the church in this hour.
Yes.
We are not defeated. We're not on the bottom. We're not grasping at a knot at the end of a rope holding on. But we're on our feet. We have a victory flag that's waving.
Yeah.
Not everybody does, but there's still a remnant of God's people that's still faithful, still believes in truth, still ready to meet the Lord if the trumpet would sound. And I'm glad we have gathered in this place this morning. It's been so much tremendous, exciting preaching. I've enjoyed what I've heard thus far. And I know this morning this will sound strange to you, but I promise you, I did not change my message when I heard somebody else preach this that I have. And apparently Brother Akers is in the same place I am this morning. I feel like everybody's already preached what I've got wrote down. And I don't feel discouraged about that. I feel that the Lord's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
He's trying to tell us something. If you remain standing for a moment, turn with me in the book of Esther, chapter 4. Very familiar scriptures. The book of Esther, chapter 4. I want to begin with verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, day, night, nor day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish."
Yes.
"And if I perish, I perish." Brother Livingston preached the first night, "Teach Us War." Brother Matthew Ball preached about the importance of touching Jesus. Brother Whedon preached about the key to what you need. And Brother Warman preached, "What are you doing here?" And then last night, a tremendous message by Brother Carpenter, "Cursing the Distractions."
Yes.
I want to preach to you this morning our most glorious hour.
Yeah.
Our most glorious hour. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your presence. For this great group of young people that have gathered together, even in this holiday season, because of a tremendous hunger for the Word of the Lord. For a tremendous hunger for more than just the formalities and mechanics of Pentecostalism in this world, but they're hungry for the supernatural things. I pray that you'll deal with our hearts this morning. Touch our hearts and ears to be receptive to your word. Anoint these lips of clay. Let me speak the words you'd have me speak. And when we leave this place, we'd leave changed, a brand new vessel, ready to be fit for your use. Not hearers only of your word, but doers also. And we'll praise you for your great touch in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go down clapping your hands to the Lord this morning. Praise Him with a loud voice. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Carpenter admonished us last night at the close of the message to preach the Word. I will not tell you this morning that in my heart, in preparing for this, that I thought this was the most appropriate message. But the Lord has, in the last year and a half, He has sobered me somewhat. I have preached some people's last message that they have ever heard this year. before they left this world going into eternity. I have preached in churches when I left, the pastor backslid and walked away from what he had always believed. I have preached in churches when they came to me afterwards and said, "Brother Moses, if you preach about holiness, if you preach about standards of holiness, we don't need to be looking for popularity. We don't need to be looking for a pat on the back, not just from the pew, but also from the pulpit. We do not need men and women telling us what to preach in this day. But I thank God for men that will preach the Word. And I'll say, whatever I need to do to be saved, tell me about it. Don't look at me and deceive me with false ideas and false hopes. But let me know if I'm going to be saved, I got to be holy. I got to be righteous. I got to be committed. I got to be faithful. I got to be dedicated to God no matter what anybody else does." It was not popular to think of Esther as the one individual that might change the lives of her people. And it's not popular this morning for young people to think that their own life may be the life that makes a difference in your community or in your church. I want to say some things to you this morning that may sound a little odd. But when I got the Holy Ghost 15 years ago, there were 7 other young men in our church that got the Holy Ghost. And none of them are living for God today. I tell you, young people at 16 years old, I was organizing all-night prayer meetings because I saw a need to pray. But not every young person prays every day. I was studying the Word of God because I thought every young person studied the Word of God. I thought it was just a fundamental of salvation. I fasted at least once a week because I thought that was just part of having the Holy Ghost. But not everybody does that. And if you want a move of God in your life, young people, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be famous. You're not going to be liked. But you'll be despised for your stand. They'll call you a goody two-shoes. They'll say you think you're better than everybody else, but I'm telling you, we've got a trumpet going to sound, and I plan to leave this old world of sin. I plan to see Him face to face. I'm going to hear Him say, "Well done." Popularity is not what we need. I heard a humorous story one time about a young boy went to Bible school to learn to preach. I'm told this many times, has had this boy went to Bible school to learn to preach. He came home and his mom said, "Son, I want to hear you preach." He said, "Mama, I can't preach. I need a Bible. I need a text." And she said, "Well, you learn to preach. Just preach about anything." Well, the boy said, "Well, what am I going to preach about?" She said, "Well, preach about that dog right out there in the yard." He looked at the dog. He said, "Well, the dog ran through the yard. He jumped over the fence and he ran in the doghouse." She said, "Oh, son, really preach it." And he said, "Ran the dog. It ran through the yard. It jumped over the fence. It ran in the doghouse." And she said, "Well, that's some real preaching." I want to tell you, friend, we don't need somebody to entertain us. We live in a generation that does not want truth preached to them, but they want somebody to preach them comfortable in their sin. You won't find that with me, friend. I'm sorry. It may not be popular, but what you see is what you get. I believe you've got to be repented of your sins completely. You need to be buried in the name of Jesus. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to walk right. You need to talk right. You need to have holiness on the inside as well as on the outside. We don't need some preacher with a flashy, sparkly rhinestone suit and a good Elvis wiggle to come and tell us everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, it's not going to be all right. We're living in a day we need young people that are faithful. We need them to shoot sin, to walk away from ungodliness. We need them to look at the world and say, "I dare to be different. I dare to be holy. I dare to be godly because it is what makes me what I am." We have the potential as Esther had. Potential is not getting the job done. It is a possibility. It's a possibility standing in reserve. There are young people here today that could be preachers of the gospel if you'd get your mind off of the things of the world and popularity. I know young ladies that have told me, and I've met a lot of them, and I'm sure other evangelists have. When you go to a church, everybody automatically wants to marry an evangelist. They do. And one brother told me, a young evangelist said, man, he said, I'm so ugly, but they know that I'm an evangelist, and so they think I'm the greatest thing there is. You can be ugly. If you're an evangelist, you can get you a good-looking girlfriend, I guess. But many young people are distracted by worldly things, and they never do anything for God. You tell them, young person, if you want to marry an evangelist, you hold on to that dream. You know what they'll do? They'll marry an auto mechanic or a sound man. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a sound man or an auto mechanic, but I believe young people, you ought to set goals in your life. You ought to get on your prayer bones. It won't happen overnight, but say, God, you promised me if I'd be faithful to you, you'd give me the desires of my heart. I'm telling you, God is faithful. He is true. He'll never fail you. He'll never walk away. He'll never break a promise to you. And preachers, in this day we live in, it's a sad thing that young preachers have to preach like Brother Carpenter did last night about holiness. I'm disturbed about older preachers that I've seen in the past 2 years. I'm not down on old preachers. I believe in old preachers, friend. But I know there's a lot of old preachers in the last 2 years that have got in their pulpits in our organization that have said, you can do anything you want to do. Oh, we preached the last 25 years as man-made rules and traditions. I'm going to tell you, friend, they're not tradition. Holiness is for your safety. It's for your protection, and you better preach it. You better hold on to it, or you're going to lose your generation because the enemy has come in among us. Hungry people are not impressed by jokes. They're not impressed by your entertaining smile. I watched a man the other day at the dancing lights out there, the dancing water, up there strumming on a harp. Nobody seen him but me, huh? Then strumming on a harp. And then when he got done, he goes, a big Colgate smile. I'm not sure he even played it. Maybe it was a soundtrack. We don't know. He was so far up there, but he just strumming on it. He does that I don't know how many times a day. But there are preachers that do the same thing. When they get done preaching, they say, how did I do? Did I do all right? Did you like that joke I told, that third one I told? I want to tell you, friend, we don't need jokes. We don't need somebody to pacify us. We need them to tell us where we're living. Young people, you got to have a move of God. We need a revival. We need a revival. We need a stirring in our spirit like we've never needed before. We don't need another entertainer. We don't need another performer. We don't need another Michael Jackson. We don't need a Magic Johnson. We don't need a Madonna. We don't need MTV. We need an old-fashioned move of God. We need an old-fashioned revival again. Oh, God, give us conviction of our heart. Roseanne, 90210. Bart Simpson, Mutant Ninja Turtles were among the top 10 shows last year. It is said in the USA Today newspaper they promote the New Age movement. They promote rebellion, disrespect for authority, and safe immorality. I want to tell you, friend, there is no such thing as safe sin. I want to tell you this morning, young people, you don't need to be watching that garbage. You get that in your heart and you'll be rebellious against authority. You'll be rebellious against the church. You'll have a New Age philosophy that you can do it on your own. Oh, but if you find a place to touch the Lord, if you find a place to touch Him, you'll leave this place never to be the same. We need more dedication and less passive feelings. Someone a couple years ago, set themselves on fire in front of Capitol Hill because they were protesting hunger around the world. There are people that will literally fast until they drop over dead because there's somebody locked up in a prison. They don't think they should be there. I want to tell you, we need some commitment to God. We need some dedication to God. We need some young people to stop worrying about others, what others think of you, and you find a place to pray. You fast those meals. You give yourself to God, and God will be faithful to you to the end. We live in a day that homosexuals have more control than the church. I don't like that word homosexuals. I like Brother Carmen said, they're queers. When they got their rights, and I used to say this all the time, you say I used to be gay until I find out it don't mean happy anymore. You don't, you know. But when they get their rights, then they wanted to be called homosexuals. We've always called them queers. And our government wants the queers in and the church out. When they took the Bible out of our schools, they began to sow seed back in the 60s. They sowed seed in the 70s. They sowed seed in the 80s. I remember what they said in the 70s. The rebellion was smoking in the boys' room. Teacher, don't fill me up with your rules. Everybody knows smoking ain't allowed in school, but they rebelled anyway. In the 80s, it was we don't need no education and we don't need no school control. You know, today what we're reaping the seeds that were sown in the 60s, in the 70s, and in the 80s. But the 90s may look gloom, it may look doom, it may look like everything's gone down, but I'm telling you, this is our most glorious hour. This is our greatest hour. When trouble comes, that's when the church will rise. That's when the church will shine. That's when the church will be holy to God. We've got more young people today that want to be mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman than want to preach the gospel. We need to change some ideas. We need to look back to where we came from. We need to remember where we used to be and remember the pit God drug us from. And we need to come with a grateful heart, a thanksgiving spirit, and thank God He gave us a hope. Thank God in the midst of a troubled world, there's still an opportunity to walk on gold. Rebellion is seen in our generation unbelievable proportions because men have forgotten God. We live in a horrible nation. I talked to a preacher here some time ago. He's talking about the economy crumbling. He said, well, we'll bounce back. He said, if we go into a depression, he said, it'll be just like back in the Great Depression. He said, we'll come back out. We'll recover in just a couple years. No, we won't. Don't you dare believe that. In those days, if you had a pot of beans, you shared it with your neighbor. In those days, you didn't lock your door when you went to bed at night. In L.A., a man nearly got beat to death by some police officers, and they burned their own city down. They wasn't helping one another. They were trying to kill people because of the color of their skin. They sent their children in to loot stores. Let me tell you, friend, if the economy crumbles, you won't be safe. Your home won't be safe. If the economy crumbles, you may lose everything you got. But if you still got Jesus, you still got enough. You still got enough. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. When you don't have no money in your pocket, there's still going to be Jesus. When you don't have any hope, there's still going to be Jesus. When they can't give you an answer, there's still going to be Jesus. I feel in my spirit, we are somehow, and I felt it in this conference, and I'm excited about this. This is the greatest conference that I've ever been in, I think, because of the things we're hearing. I love it when somebody preaches about holiness, because I'm tired of somebody telling me I'm the only one doing it. Some folks want to debate whether their hair's too long or what's long, preacher. It's never been an issue of long or short. The issue's always been uncut. Don't debate about it. It's easy to figure out. Don't cut it. And let me tell you, young ladies, when you dress ungodly, and I've seen some here, and if you say if you didn't see it, you're crazy too. There's some young ladies and some young men that are dressed ungodly in this convention. I'm going to tell you what that's called. That's still called lasciviousness. When you cause somebody else to lust, you cause them to look at you, that's lasciviousness. I want to tell you, friend, we've got to call sin, sin. We better get back to fundamentals. We better get back to the basics. We need a holy living. We need some consecrated young people. We need some more young preachers of the gospel. We cannot afford to fail a generation. You owe them something. You owe me something. I heard somebody say something one time, and I think about this a lot. I am only a product of my upbringing. Some of your churches don't want revival. Wow, that's scary. Some of your churches don't want revival. Our old pastor, Brother Eli Sutton, that started our church in 1910 in a boxcar at Hartsel Veneer. He was unloading some lumber, found an old Azusa Street newspaper and began to read about the Holy Ghost. He was a Nazarene man. And as he read that, it stirred him. And at noon, everybody walked down to the boxcar. He knelt down by that stack of lumber. And he said, God, if the Holy Ghost has really fallen with speaking in tongues on Azusa Street, I want to receive the same Holy Ghost. And there at 12 noon in Hearts of Veneer in 1910, God baptized him with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues in that boxcar. I want to tell you, friend, it's still the same Holy Ghost as it was then. He said that during the Depression, he said they didn't even have a bean in the house. But they'd set all the kids around the table. They'd all join hands. They'd put all the silverware and all the dishes out. And they'd say, thank you, God, for this bountiful harvest. There wasn't nothing to eat. But before they quit praying, there would come a knock at the door and somebody brought food to them. I'm going to tell you, it's the same God today, young people. He can do the same thing for you. You're only a product of the teaching. You're only the product of your instruction. You've got that bread in your heart. God still can. And I was always raised poor. This is real fancy for me. Guy come and asked me wanted valet parking. I thought he was going to park in the valley. Yeah, park as low as you want to. I don't care. Just park the thing. He'd come in with a leprechaun suit on, a little hat, and took all my luggage up to my room. And stood there a minute. Oh, you want some money? Well, I give him $3. I don't know if that's right or wrong. Most of you don't know either, so... We strut around like we belong here. We don't know where we're at. We're going to go back out to our 72 rusted out Pinto. It'll pop and smoke all the way home. But we're happy while we're here. I want to tell you something, friend. We don't have much down in this whole world. But I know that one of these days when the trumpet sounds, we're going to a much better place. The light is going to be brighter. The atmosphere will be greater because the Lord will be the light of that city. He will be the Lamb that will give you and I a world of rejoicing for eternity. My father was killed in 1960. I don't know how much time I got, brother. My father was killed in 1968 in an automobile accident. My mother's not here tonight. She's watching my kids at home. Thank you, Jesus. I'll get a video and give it to her. She's so proud of me. Hi, Mom. Isn't that what you're supposed to say? My father was an alcoholic. We lost everything. We lost our car. We lost our home. We lost everything. My mother was forced to raise 5 small children on her own. But I remember when we moved in with my aunt for a couple of days, we lived in a car for a few days. We were poor. You can't tell me nothing about being poor. I know all there is to know about being poor. But my mother took us when she found a newspaper. She found an apartment building we could afford to rent. And my mother took us 5 small children by the hand. And she said, kids, today we're going to play like Joshua around the walls of Jericho. And we got out and we marched around that house 7 times in Jesus' name. And we thought it was a little game. We enjoyed it. The neighbors made fun of us. They called us crazy people and said, why don't you go back home? But I'm going to tell you, friend, I've never marched around a house but what I didn't later play in the yard. You know why? She taught me if you trust God, He can make a way where there is no way. He's still the same God today, friend. He can do anything. He can do everything. He can do all things. Or He can do nothing at all. And in this hour, He's still the same God. I know things look grim. I know they look bad. But this is the hour we have prayed for. This is the hour we have longed for. I want to tell you, now's the day we need to buckle down. We need to join hands in unity. We need to fight in this whole world. We need to strive to reach the mark. Don't back down from your message. Don't back down from holiness. Don't walk away from truth. But hold on to it if nobody else does. Some people don't want it. Some people don't want it. If you have a church that preaches holiness and truth, you're blessed. Some people don't want it. But when some don't want it, there's some that do. We were preaching a revival. I'm not going to tell you where. There was a young lady. I preached on holiness that night. It's a young teenage girl sitting over on the front row. Service was over. We were talking. And she sat over there on a chair with the youth director and his wife and a bunch of young couples sitting around her. And she was talking to them. And I thought, well, maybe it's something personal. I won't get involved in it. And so they talked a while. We went over and had a cup of coffee and come back through about 30 minutes later, and they were still there. She was talking. They were just patting her on the knee. I know it's so bad. And I thought, well, I got to hear what's going on here. So I kind of walked over and started looking at the wall. I was eavesdropping is what I was doing. I was looking at the wall. And she was saying, well, I don't want to think people think that I'm not like cool and like I'm not like rad and things, you know, and like if I wear my hair up and like if I wear long dresses and like things like, you know, things like that, they'll think I'm like not cool. Man, that drove me nuts. How is people when they talk, they just talk. Just talk. You don't have to like everything. And that irritated me too. But finally I stood there a few minutes and I said, could I say something? And they all stepped back like, oh yes, we want the evangelist to say some deep spiritual wisdom is going to come forth. My God, brother, please speak. That's what it was. Oh, please speak. And I looked at her and I said, you are a crybaby. You don't want me counseling you young people, I don't suppose. I'm not real good at counseling. It's not a strong point for me. But I told her, I said, you're a crybaby. I said, we just came back from a church. And there was 2 young people there, a boy and a girl, teenagers. And those kids worshiped, they sang. Every night they would come after the service and they would say, that was such a good message. You don't ever hear that about young people. But they said, that's such a good message, Brother Moses. We really enjoyed that. I thought, man, them's great young people. Just great young people. And I thought about that. And the grandmother came to me after the service the last night. And she said, Brother Moses, please pray for these young people. Please take them on your heart and pray for them. I thought, man, if she wants any more out of them, she's nuts. They're giving all they can give. But that woman said, that boy, he had been left for dead 3 times by his schoolmates. They have jumped off the curb and stomped his head because of the gospel he believes. She said, they have taken his Bible and they have looked at it like they wanted to read it and they have busted his nose with it. They took that girl and they grabbed her by her long hair and slammed her into lockers. I said, when you stand before Lord God, young lady, you're going to see two young people from Morgantown, West Virginia. They're going to point their finger in judgment and say, I was able to live it. I was able to endure it. And because I did it, they'll be responsible to God. You're not going to get off saying it was tough. You won't get off saying it was too hard. You're going to have to give God everything. I talked to the young man a few weeks ago. He said, I graduated from high school. Nobody liked him. He was despised. But he still looks godly. And he's got scars on his face to prove he paid a price many won't pay. You will not tell me today that you've had it tough and you've had it rough because somebody called you a holy roller. You don't know what you're talking about, friend. There are people that have really paid a price. There are people that have really suffered. And you and I will not get off with anything less. We've got to be fully, totally committed to God. We've got to be committed to His Word. This is not a gloomy hour. This is a glorious hour. This is not a deadbeat church. This is a glorious church. We're not on the bottom. We're still on the top with victory. Teachers in schools are afraid to teach. Illiteracy is out of control in our country because students threaten to kill the teacher if they don't pass them. That's true. Read your newspapers. And we see that young people today, they say that 1 out of 7 have been physically attacked in public schools. We see where they have been abused. Teachers are attacked. They're attacked. I got this out of the newspaper the other day. It said 1 out of every 7 students is either a bully or a victim of a bully. About 282,000 students are physically attacked in United States secondary schools every month. In a typical month, 125,000 students or teachers, rather, 12% are threatened with physical harm, and 5,200 are physically attacked. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a troubled school system. We're living in a troubled government. We've got a troubled world, but we've got a glorious church. We've got trouble on every hand, but there's still an Esther among us. There's still a hope among us because somebody will dare to be different. Rebellion is reflected in our clothing and our hairdos. We used to have a problem with girls. We don't have a problem with them as much as we do boys now. I saw an apostolic boy. He looked real good in the front. Turned around, had a ponytail braided in the back. Apostolic boy. Me and my kids, we was in a bank parking lot. My wife was in a drugstore. We was parked across the street in the bank. And a man got out of a car, and he had one of them Jackson 5 afros. He was a white guy. He had a huge, I mean a massive afro. We just laughing. Ah, look at the afro. Ah, we was all laughing at him. And he turned around, and right straight down the middle of his head, the other side was completely shaven. Man, we like to lost it. We were all blown in a bag, hyperventilating. Not really, but we laughed and we was hurting. Nobody looked at him like he was weird but us. He just strutted around like he was somebody. And the other guy with him, you know, we used to make fun of kids when I was growing up that put a bow on their head and get a haircut. They do it now. From the top of their ears down to shaving. If you want to look stupid, that's all right. I'm not going to tell you that if you shave everything from your ears down, that you're going to be lost. I won't tell you that. But I tell you, you look so stupid, we're all laughing at you. We're laughing at you. I've said this many times. We live in the most gimme generation we've ever known. Kids today have tennis shoes that cost more than I paid for my first car. You know I'm telling you the truth. And then they got to go to the gas station and get them pumped up. They got pumps on them. And I've always said what irritates me is then they don't tie them up. They sleep standing wide open and they're just flopping on their feet. They do. Some of you don't like it because you got pumps on. I saw a boy had a $125 skateboard. When I was a kid, we took a broken pair of roller skates, nailed them to the bottom of a 2x4. That was our skateboard. But times have changed. If I had a pair of blue jeans, had a tear in them, a teacher would send me home from school. Miss Moses, write a note. Miss Moses, please get Jeff a patch on his britches. But not today. They hang him on a line, they'll shoot him with a shotgun. And they'll get $80 a pair for them. They professionally tear them. You know I'm telling you the truth. And if they're all slouchy and they look terrible, that's in style. I probably shouldn't tell this big of a group this, but when I was in the fifth grade, I used to sleepwalk. And I was sleepwalking one time, and I went to school in the fifth grade with a Pinocchio shirt on. My pajamas, Pinocchio pajamas. I walked all the way to school. I didn't know how I got there, but when I woke up, I had my pajamas on. The fifth grade. They laughed at me. They made fun of me. I tried to convince them it was a party shirt. Nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. But you could wear that same Pinocchio shirt to school today, and they'd say, man, that's cool, that's rad, that's bad. I want one. It's true. I am not against expensive tennis shoes and skateboards. I'm not against stupid haircuts, if that's what you want. But I tell you what I am against when we want to get so close to the world that we forsake the identity of the church. We need to be proud to be Pentecostal. We need some pride in being one God. Apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rollers, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, on our way to glory, and we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Proud of what we are. I'm going to close in just a moment. I have heard people, it's already been said this week, criticized old preachers. I will tell you this morning, old preachers didn't know what a pair of Rockports and Stacy Adams shoes were. They didn't know what a fine suit was. They didn't have Thompson Chain Bibles, Strong's Concordances. When the teeth fell out, they couldn't even afford to put new ones in. They wore the same shoes to church that they wore in the field that day. A pair of bibbed overalls they probably worked in that day. Any old jacket and a shirt that would button at the top. And all they did preach about was repentance, baptism, the Holy Ghost, and a holy life. That's true. That's all they preached about. I'll give you that much. But they bought us revival through prayer. They bought you and I what we have tonight through prayer. We would not be in this great convention hall if somebody didn't first of all pray and pay a price we're not paying. They were willing to go the extra mile that many today are not willing to go. I want to tell you something, friend. We need to thank God for old timers. But we need, I don't want the old days. Don't you misunderstand me. But I do want the old ways. We need prayer again. We need fasting again. We need worship again. We need holiness again. If you don't want holiness, then you don't want truth. I'm sure this morning, this has marked me. Some folks say, well, you're a Godhead preacher. Well, I love to preach the Godhead, but I love to preach holiness too. I don't mind being called holiness. Let me read something to you. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. I'm not going to read all this, but you know the story. Ahab wanted word from a prophet, and his 400 prophets, they came and they said, yeah, go on. Ramoth Gilead, just go right on. Take it. The Lord's going to give it to you. But Jehoshaphat said, wait just a minute. He said, could you send us a prophet of the Lord? I know what these 400 said. Give me a prophet of the Lord. Just one of them will do. The prophet came, and all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to called Micaiah said unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that, not which is true, but that which is good. That which is good. And so he prophesied, and Micah said, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He told him what he wanted to hear. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, truth now. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? There are many people that do not want truth. They want to be pacified in their sin. I want to tell you this morning, if you preach just what you feel is comfortable to make your people happy, you're going to be lost, and so will they. For the scripture goes on to say, and the Lord said unto him, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And thou shalt persuade him and prevail also and go forth and do so. If you don't want the truth, there'll be a lying spirit that will minister to you. But young people, let me tell you this morning, I'm not trying to cause no rebellion, but if your preacher's not preaching truth, you ought to stand up and declare it and demand it. We demand truth. We demand holiness. We demand to hear what the word of the Lord saith. So congregation, stands this morning. I have had young people this year come to me with tears in their eyes. Said, Brother Moses, our preacher has said we can do anything we want to do. And we know that we're going to lose holiness standards. Churches that have preached it for years. And said, could you do something to help us? I've looked at them and said, if I said something to you, pastor, all it would do is cause hard feelings with us and rebellion. But you got to live it even if they don't preach it. You got to do it. Holiness is not a bunch of rules and regulations. It is for your protection. It's for your protection. There's no such thing as safe immorality. We don't need performers or entertainers. We need a revival. This is your most glorious hour, young people. All that you've heard in this convention, all of it's trying to tell you, you've got the power to do it. I want to tell you this, and then I'm going to close. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be mighty. You don't have to be well-learned or intelligent. All you have to do is be willing to be a vessel God can use. I have seen this year, not what somebody's told me, what I have seen with my eyes. I have seen the blinded eyes open this year. I have seen people that have been crippled for 3.5 years get out of wheelchairs and walk. Woman had no kneecaps, no lower bones in her back. If she had no hip socket, I think one of her children are here tonight, this morning. If she would step her weight down, the bone would go up into her rib cage. I saw her get up and walk, and I saw her jump up and down. God's still healing. I have seen the blinded eyes open. I have seen deaf ears unstopped. I have seen it this year. I want to tell you what's amazing about it. No preacher laid hands on them. Saints of God. Just saints of God believers. This is your most glorious hour. The most glorious hour. The pastor was telling me, he said, their bus driver went out to pick up kids for Sunday school. So a little boy had the crutches that lock on your arms. You know what I'm talking about. The leg braces on him, and they just kind of throw their legs and catch themselves. You know what I'm talking about. 9 years old. He asked the boy if he'd like to come. He said, yes, but my mother won't let me. The bus driver asked the mother. She said, no, I don't want him to go. The kids will make fun of him. That's sad that that's in their mind, but that's true. Kids can be so cruel. But he convinced them. He said, I will not let him. I'll take care of him myself. Please let him come. He came. The mother let him. He staggered and got up on that bus going to Sunday school. But in that Sunday school class, that little girl was teaching that Sunday school class. She was teaching about the healing power of Jesus. And those kids, it wasn't the teacher that initiated it. It was those 9-year-old kids said, teacher, they gathered around him and formed a circle and joined hands. And they said, teacher, you reckon if Jesus did it back then, he can do it now? She was so shocked. But they prayed in the name of Jesus. And God instantaneously healed that boy. He had crippling arthritis. They said he was going to the doctor several times a week to get shots for the pain. But that boy staggered on a bus Sunday morning. But he came back off running saying, look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. He's still a healer. I'm going to tell you, this is our most glorious hour. This is the hour God can move through us. But he wants a vessel. Somebody he can use. It was 9-year-old faith that did it. I don't care who you are this morning, if you've got the Holy Ghost and you want to be used by God, he wants to use you. This is your most glorious hour. You're not the church of tomorrow. You'll be here tomorrow, but you're the church of today. We need that young enthusiasm to reach out into the highways and hedges, find in our schools people that are hurting, people that are confused, and let them know we have found the answer to our problems. We've got a hope this morning. I know I'm out of time this morning, probably went over time. But it is the desire of my heart. I'm preaching this morning. Like this is the last message that I will ever preach. I believe we are on the very threshold of the coming of the Lord. I have never believed it like I have this year. People say, do you believe Jesus is coming? We all raise our hand. I have always believed that he was coming. But I'll be honest with you, I never really expected him. But today I expect him. I expect any moment, just any day, he's coming. He's coming. This is your greatest hour, young people. In foreign lands, they're estimating in Ethiopia, 1,000 people a service are being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's revival. It's not coming. It is here. It is here. The preaching you've heard this week, it is here. And God wants to do something through us. I want to be a vessel God can use, don't you? Let's raise our hands and worship him again this morning. In Jesus' name.
Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Song of victory swell. For the church, triumphant, is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. We settled the question. We made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Song of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive.